Hi, my name is Nico. I'm one of the ministers here at church. And today we are celebrating Pentecost, which is one of the big Christian festivities and actually as important as Easter or Christmas. It's important because it's when the church was born, and actually discovering how something was born lets us know a bit more about its identity and who it should be. We start off with a group of scared disciples praying together, and we move into a movement that's about to transform the biggest empire the world has ever known. So what happened? The disciples were praying and waiting because Jesus had told them to wait till the Spirit would come and give them power. And suddenly that happened. The Spirit came with power. And they left that place speaking about the wonders of God in different languages. And this is really significant because it was actually in the middle of one of the three big Jewish festivities. So there's a lot of people from different places coming to Jerusalem to celebrate that festivity. And they're all hearing the wonders of God in their own language. This is significant because the Jewish leaders didn't see these Jews who were dispersed as good as them, as pure as them. And suddenly when they come to Jerusalem, the good news is shared with them. And the church is birthed in a revolution that's completely multicultural, multilingual, diverse, fresh, new, and led by a bunch of misfits, a bunch of not good enough. So what changed? Everything. Imagine someone discovers the cure for COVID, and then they start producing the vaccine, and then this has to be distributed everywhere. So Jesus' resurrection is a bit like the cure that's been found, but Pentecost is a production and distribution of that vaccine towards the whole world. It's a beginning of something new and exciting that ripples out everywhere, starts in Jerusalem and then spreads out in power and in a massive adventure. So this is how the church was born, and this is how it should be always. It was exciting. They were suddenly free of an oppressive religious structure and carried a message that brought hope and transformation. It wasn't all nice and easy and straightforward, but it was definitely a cause that filled them with hope and that they were willing to live and die for. The book of Acts shows us how it was at the beginning. We find a group of deacons who started serving the tables and the widows and the orphans, and then were sharing God's news and seeing God do amazing things around them. A guy from Africa coming in and saying, "I'm reading the Old Testament, I don't understand what this means." And one of them speaking to him about the gospel and the power of the Spirit. And then them leaving and starting a new church in Africa. It was all exciting and new. So why was it so powerful and exciting? Because they didn't try and control God or put him in a box, but they just let the Holy Spirit guide them and do through them what they couldn't do by themselves. And that first church went through many hardships, but it was alive and attractive. Since then, and very early on, the church has tended to go back to be complacent and unattractive and irrelevant to its society. And that's when God kind of stirs people into going back to the model of that first church. So it's again alive and exciting and worth living for. Imagine if you were back into the book of Acts and you're praying for these two guys who are in prison, and suddenly you hear that the prison's doors have just magically opened and they're able to come out. Or imagine being part of that church in a new city where there's literally no other Christians and just a bunch of you praying and suddenly seeing people coming and getting to know God. How exciting would that be? So what changed in Pentecost? What was the big shift in Pentecost? And the big shift was that we find in the Old Testament that God worked through specific people who were anointed. Anointed is a very jargony word, but basically it means that they were someone put oil on their head and they were given a task and a gift from God to do a specific thing. So you had prophets and priests and kings who were given a gift from God to do something very specific. And what happens in Pentecost is that what God is doing is now saying this gift and this anointing, this presence of mine, is for everyone. For anyone who decides to open up to it, you can receive it. You can have that power. And that's why Pentecost is so important. Because suddenly it changes from what I can do in my own strength to what God can do through His Spirit in me. And therefore, every person has a massive potential to do what God calls them to do. And the mission that first church had was basically impossible for them to do by themselves. How could they convince anyone about the gospel? How could they change lives? How could they get people to receive God's peace and God's love? How could they get them to see people healed? And all these things we see in that first church. And that's exactly the same for us today. There's no way we can be God's church and do God's things without the power of the Spirit. And as He called those first Christians to be the ones who go on to this exciting journey, He's inviting us as well today. He invites you and He invites me to do the same things they did. And you don't need to be perfect or great or a super spiritual ninja to do this. Actually, this is something we can all do and be part of. In the church I was at a few years ago, we used to have weekend encounters where we'd all gather together, and it was a really special moment for us as a community. And I remember one year I was already a deacon, so I was giving a talk, but before that our rector was giving a talk, and he was then inviting people to get prayed for. And obviously he was trying to find people to come and pray for others. And I knew that week that I hadn't prayed at all. The week had been a complete kind of disaster. I'd been completely distracted, not really living the most holy life. And when I saw he was calling for people to come and pray, I was like trying to hide myself. I didn't want him to see me, make eye contact, because I knew he was going to call me. So I was trying to hide behind a big guy in front of me. And suddenly I heard my name, which meant I had to go forward. And when I went forward, I got to pray with some people, and I was amazed to see what God was doing. One person just started to laugh and didn't stop laughing. Another person really touched by God in tears. Another person who I felt was a really spiritual person. I thought, oh, I don't really want to pray for this person. And actually, God really touching them. And it reminded me that we can all do this. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have a dog collar or have special training or know the Bible by heart. We are all called to do this. And I've been reflecting these last few weeks about the times we're living. And I mentioned a few weeks ago an article that talked about how more people were praying and more people connecting with church. And it seems like God is trying to bring us back to a time like Pentecost, to a time like the early church, where actually it's not about big leaders, it's about everyone doing their bit, everyone bringing God into every situation. And if you think about it, we are seeing so many people sharing food with food banks, so many people delivering food to people in need. We are seeing a lot of God's action amongst us and a lot of people stepping up and doing what they're called to do. We're suddenly all speaking to our neighbors much more and helping each other out. There's so many little glimpses of a church that's alive and doing God's will and doing things the way the first church did, which is really, really encouraging. So a question we have to ask ourselves is, how can we be empowered to be the church the early church was? How can we receive that power from the Holy Spirit? And there's two things I want to mention. And first is the believing, the trusting, the having expectation, the reading about what God has done in other people to create a hunger in us, to want that, to prioritize that in our lives. So it's basically being hungry to see God do what he's done in the past today again. And secondly, it's asking, it's interceding, it's worshiping, it's praying, it's spending time with God, it's letting him fill us with the Spirit to be able to take that Spirit everywhere, like the early church did. So why don't you try it out this week, spend half an hour with God, and ask him to fill him with your Spirit. Ask him to fill you with that Spirit, to give you gifts. Because the Bible is full of verses that talk about ask and seek and you will find and you will receive. And God wants to give his Holy Spirit more than we want to receive it. So Acts was all about the work of the Holy Spirit and people joining in to what he was doing. That's the DNA of the church. That's how the church was birthed. That's how it started. And that's how we need it to be, to continue, for to be alive and well and exciting, and to be the church we are called to be.